Proverbs chapter 10, verse 7. The memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. Thus ends the reading of God's Word. Let's pray and ask God's help. Father, we confess that we need You. Lord, we need You more than we know we need You. And so we beg You, Lord, to come and be with us right now. We want to be changed. Lord, we want this Word to overcome us, to read us, to convict us, to encourage us, to set us on fire. Lord, to be those who live for Your honor and point others to You. God, You know what every soul needs who came in here today. Lord, You know if there are people here that don't know You, that need to know You. Even though, as we learned yesterday in Bible study, there is a sense in which everyone knows You. Everyone knows that You exist, and they suppress the truth. But Lord, we want everyone to know You savingly, to know Christ, to be known by Him in a saving way. And Lord, we as Your children, God, we want to come and drink the pure milk of the Word. Lord, to delight in this Word, to hear from You, to be changed by You, to be equipped to go out this week and live more faithfully for You. And so, Lord, we invite You to come. Holy Spirit, come and let us hear from You. Guard my heart, guard my mouth. Keep me from anything unhelpful or proud. Help me to be a humble, loving servant. And serve Your people. Give me love for Your people. Oh God, help, we pray. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Well, what enters your mind when you hear these names? Hitler. Judas. Satan. What enters your mind when you hear names like that? You don't meet many people who name their children Hitler. Hey, this is my son. His name's Hitler. You don't see that very often. Or you don't meet many Judases. This is little Judas. You just don't see that. And certainly we don't see people name their children Satan. The name of the wicked will rot. There's a reason you don't see people name their children that. What about these names? Abraham Lincoln. Abraham of the Bible. Moses. Or that name above all names. Jesus. Amen. Jesus. What enters your mind when you hear those names? The memory of the righteous is a blessing. It's a blessing. Good things in your mind when you hear that second list, because they were righteous. They did things that blessed others. And their memory is a blessing to us now. There are monuments for them. Well, friend, what will people think when they hear your name? What will people think when they remember your name? This proverb teaches us that how people remember you matters. How people remember you matters. Your legacy, what you leave behind, matters. Your reputation, how people think of you, matters. What is your reputation? With others. How will you be remembered? How do you want to be remembered? What will your legacy be? I read an article once about a man remembering his father. And he had a picture on his wall of his father. And the picture was of a man sitting in a corner by himself with his face covered. And the context of that picture was a man in the military. This man who was in the picture who had his face covered. He was in the military and he was overseas. And there was a mandatory party that all the military personnel were supposed to go to. So he had to be at this party. But in the midst of the party, they had hired a woman to come and take off all her clothes. This man was away from his family. He was away from his wife. He was away from anybody that might know or care what he's seeing and what he's doing. But you have a picture of him in a corner with his face covered. He would not look. And that young man has this picture of his daddy on the wall with his face covered, looking like a dunce to the world, looking like a killjoy to the world, but he's there with his face covered. He will not look. That's his daddy's legacy. A legacy of purity, a legacy of honor, a legacy when everybody else is doing what's wrong and what God forbids, he stands firm and follows Christ. What will your legacy be? All friends. I think about this. That's one of the reasons my life motto is from Colossians 3:11. Christ is all. Christ is all. Mather said, let the motto upon your whole ministry be Christ is all. Or like the hymn writer wrote, not I but Christ be honored, loved, exalted. Not I but Christ be seen, be known and heard. Not I but Christ in every look and action. Not I but Christ in every thought and word. Oh, to be saved from myself, dear Lord. Oh, to be lost in you. Oh, that it may be no more I but Christ that lives in me. That's what we want for our legacy. Christ follow. Christ honors. We want people to remember us and think of Jesus. And that's what this text teaches us. The memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. Point number one, we ought to want to be remembered and to have a good reputation. And some of you might be hearing that and be thinking of all these biblical reasons we ought not want to be remembered. This text teaches that we ought to want to be remembered and have a good reputation. Aren't we not supposed to care about what people think? Aren't we supposed to be people who don't care about what anyone thinks except God? Yes and no. Yes and no. There is a sense in which we as Christians were supposed to live before the face of God alone. Coram Deo, before the face of God. We live for God, we honor God, we obey God, and we let the chips fall where they may, and we don't care what people think about us as long as we're following Him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is how Jesus lived. Mark 12:14. Teacher, we know that you are true and do not care about anyone's opinion. For you are not swayed by appearances, but truly teach the way of God. This is how Paul lived. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. Just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. This is how the apostles lived. And yet we see a beautiful picture in Acts chapter 5 of the apostles having a good reputation with the masses of people and a bad reputation with the wicked leaders, the wicked religious leaders. So the apostles had a good reputation with the people, with the masses. Look at Acts 5, 12 through 13. Acts 5, 12 through 13. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And so they were healing people in the name of Christ. They were preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus, and the people held them in high esteem. Good reputation. Thought well of. And they were put in prison. They were put in prison. Because the leaders did not like what they were doing. The religious leaders did not like what they were doing. The apostles had a good reputation with the people, but they didn't have a good reputation with the religious leaders. And so we read in Acts 5, 17 through 18, "But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him," that is, the party of the Sadducees, "were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison." So a good reputation with one group, a bad reputation with the other, and that got them thrown into prison. Eventually, they got out of prison, and they were free again to teach and preach in the name of Jesus, and they had to be taken back into custody. And we read in Acts 5, 28 through 29, we read the religious leaders say this, "We strictly charged you not to teach in this name," in the name of Jesus. "Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than man." Amen. We must obey God rather than men. You see, the apostles had a good reputation with the people, but they had a bad one with the wicked leaders. What makes a reputation good or bad? That's the question we have to ask. What makes a reputation good or bad? Our reputation is good to the degree that it is righteous. That's what the text says. The memory of the righteous is a blessing. A reputation, a memory, is good, and it's a blessing to the degree that it reflects well on God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And so one pastor has written, "Our aim in life is for Christ to be magnified in our bodies, whether by life or by death." Philippians 1, 19 through 20. In other words, with Paul, we do care. We really care about what others think of Christ. Their salvation hangs on what they think of Christ. And our lives are to display His truth and beauty. So we must care about what others think of us as representative of Christ. Love demands it. But notice where the accent falls. Not on our value or our excellence or our virtue or our power and wisdom. It falls on whether Christ is honored by the way the people think of us. Does Christ look great because of the way we live? Does Christ look great because of the way we live? It matters to us whether He does. Again, notice a crucial distinction. The litmus test of our faithfully displaying the truth and beauty of Christ in our lives is not the opinion of others. We want them to see Christ in us and love Him, and thus incidentally approve of us. But we know they may be blind to Christ and resistant to Christ, so they may think of us just what they thought of Him. Remember what they thought of Jesus? Matthew 10:25, "If they have called the head of the house Beelzebul, the devil, how much more will they malign the members of His household?" Jesus wanted men to admire Him and trust Him, but He did not change who He was in order to win their approval, and neither can we. Yes, we want people to see us with approval when we are displaying that Jesus is infinitely valuable to us, but we dare not make the opinion of others the measure of our faithfulness. They may be blind and resistant to the truth. Then the reproach we bear is no sign of our unfaithfulness or lack of love. May God give us wisdom and love and courage to please and not to please as we hold fast to Christ as our treasure. So yes, we want people to see us with approval when we are displaying that Jesus is infinitely valuable to us. But we dare not make the opinion of others our standard. We follow Christ and let people think whatever they want to think about us. But we want to let Christ and His message do the offending, and not our selfishness and our sin and our unholiness. Proverbs 10:7 teaches that being remembered in the right way is a good thing. It's a blessing to those who have eyes to see that blessing. To have a blessing is to have what is good and holy and honorable and satisfying. You'll have peace, you'll have prosperity, you'll have satisfaction, you're a blessing to others. And this text appeals to our desire to want to be a blessing. Surely you want to be a blessing to others. This text appeals to your good, godly desire to bless other people. So again, it's not wrong to want to be remembered in a good way. It's not wrong to want to have a good reputation, a reputation that points others to Christ. A faithful, good Moravian Christian teacher and leader, Count Zinzendorf, he has this famous phrase, preach the gospel, die, and be forgotten. Preach the gospel, die, and be forgotten. And that's a good phrase. I like that phrase. I tell people that phrase. But I do want to check that phrase with this proverb. That if you are a Christ-exalting, Christ-centered, Christ-loving, Christ-obeying person, it is good for people to remember you in as much as your memory points them to Jesus. And so I have sort of a quip, a funny response to Count Zinzendorf. If you want to preach the gospel, die and be forgotten, and publish all your books anonymously. That may help in the whole proud Christian culture if we just published everything anonymously. The Bible instructs us to seek to have a good reputation and to be thought of well by others. When we're talking about elders, when Paul instructs Timothy on what to look for in an elder, he commands you to pick someone who has a good reputation. 1 Timothy 3:7. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into the snare of the devil. And notice, many of these are pointing not just inside the church, but in outside the church. Have a good reputation among unbelievers. Amen. Did you notice that? It said outside. Do they have a good reputation outside? Are they thought well of by outsiders? So one of the ways you might want to vet an elder is go to his job, his workplace, and ask, how's John doing? How does he do it on his job, you see? Does he have a good reputation on his job as a hard worker, as one who resolves conflict, who's loving and kind and sharing? Or 1 Timothy again, Paul instructs Timothy to be careful about who you let on the widow's list. They need to have a good reputation. 1 Timothy 5, 9 through 10. Let a widow be enrolled. So the context here is we need to take care of the church's widows. And so we're going to make a list of widows who we're going to help. But they have to meet some requirements to be helped. And so the Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, is giving those requirements. 1 Timothy 5, 9 through 10. Let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years old, having been the wife of one husband, and having a reputation for good works. And then he lists some of those works. If she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, and has devoted herself to every good work. Peter, by the Holy Spirit, encouraged us to have a good reputation among Gentiles. 1 Peter 2, 11 through 12. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of His visitation. Have a good reputation. The Bible commands this among outsiders. Strive for a reputation, a life that should be imitated. That you can say, you want to see what it looks like to be a Christian? Come and live with me. Come and follow me. I'll show you. To some of you that might sound proud and arrogant, but we ought to strive to live such a life. Paul did. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. And of course, Jesus. He's always our greatest example. Luke 2:52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. He grew in favor with men. He had a good reputation. That's all sort of introduction, just to talk about some of these misgivings we might have that may have been ingrained in our mind by, again, not taking account of all that Scripture says. And so it's good, it's right to want to be remembered and to want to be remembered as a blessing, as a blessing. So this text says the memory of the righteous is a blessing. If it's not wrong to want to be remembered, if you want to be remembered for the right reason, it's not wrong again. Again, it's not wrong to want to be remembered if you want to be remembered for the right reason. And the right reason is because you want your memory, your name, to be a blessing to other people. This was part of God's promises to our Old Testament heroes. Look at Genesis 12, 1 through 2. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 2, we see Abram here. We see God speaking to Abram, who later God changed his name to Abraham. But notice what God says to Abram. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 2. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you," and get this, "and make your name great." Okay, so God says, "I'm going to make your name great, Abraham, Abram." That's not wrong. God said He's going to do it, to make a man's name great. Don't be more spiritual than God. Don't be more spiritual than God. Sometimes we can be more spiritual than God. He should have said, "I'm going to make God's name great through Abraham." Don't correct God, my friend. Don't be more holy than God. God said, "I'm going to make Abraham's name great." Why? Why? So that you will be a blessing. So that you will be a blessing. This is what our text is saying. The memory of the righteous is a blessing. And so God said He would do this in the life of Abraham. And how was Abram a blessing? How was he a blessing? Galatians 3, 8 through 9. Galatians 3, 8 through 9. "And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, 'In you shall all the nations be blessed.' So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." He was a man of faith. Abraham was a man of faith. Abraham trusted God. Abraham obeyed God. Abraham even saw Christ's day and rejoiced. I wonder if you know that. Abraham was like 2,000 years before Jesus. How did Abraham see Jesus' day and rejoice? Well, you could ask the same question about Hebrews 11, where it says that Moses regarded the afflictions with Christ greater. Moses was a Christian, my friend. That's what the Bible teaches. Moses was afflicted for the sake of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Abraham saw Jesus' day and rejoiced. Don't take my word for it. Take Jesus' word for it. In John 8:56, Jesus said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." The memory of Abraham is a blessing because all the promises that God made to Abraham are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Abraham's memory is a blessing because he points us to Christ. What about David? What about King David? We read about King David being told, being called to be a king of Israel. And in 2 Samuel 7, we see this. 2 Samuel 7, 8 through 9. 2 Samuel 7, 8 through 9. "Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make you a great name, like the name of the great ones on the earth. Again, just like God said to Abraham, I'm going to make your name great. It will be great. And why? Because of what our text said. The memory of the righteous is a blessing. How is David a blessing? How is the memory of David a blessing? 2 Samuel 7:16. David is told, your throne shall be established forever. David's name is a blessing because, again, it points us to Christ, the great son of David, whose kingdom would be forever. Jesus spoke about David in Matthew 22, 21 through 45. Matthew 22, 41 through 45. Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question saying, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. He said to them, how is it then that David in the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son? Jesus is teaching here that not only is the Messiah a descendant of David according to the flesh, but that David called Messiah God. David called Messiah divine, God, my Lord and my God. Just like Thomas. Remember Thomas in John 20, 28, when he saw Jesus raised from the dead and said, look here in my hands and feet and side. And Thomas proclaimed, my Lord and my God. David called Messiah Lord and God. David is a blessing. David's memory is a blessing because David trusted God. David obeyed God. We know David sinned greatly, but when he did, what did he do? He repented. He turned. He turned from his sin and came back to the Lord. David called the Messiah Lord and God. The memory of David is a blessing because all the promises God made to David are yes and amen in the Lord Jesus Christ. David points us to Christ, so his name, his memory, is a blessing. Friend, the greatest blessing that we can give to others, the greatest blessing that we can give to others is that when they remember us, their memory of us points them to Jesus Christ and His finished work and His love. And His beauty. And His glory. That's the beautiful thing about that quote from Zinzendorf that we remember. Preach Christ, die and be forgotten. I remember Zinzendorf and his memory is a blessing to me because he wanted Christ to be all. All right. All right. The greatest blessing we can give to others is that when they remember our name, it makes them think of how great Jesus Christ is. So when they remember Michael, when they remember his faithfulness here, every meeting of the church, his faithfulness to love and care for others, his faithfulness to teach and train his children about Jesus. When they remember Kimberly, that they remember her as a humble and loving woman who sought to train Janelle to know and love and adore Christ. When we remember the name Leonard McCoy, we think about this bold man who goes in front of the abortion clinic to hand out literature and love men and women going in to abort their children and calling them to repent and believe in Jesus. We remember their names. And when we do, their name points us to the one who's the name above all names. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Fathers are remembered for how they loved their children, how they were faithful to their wives in purity and holiness. Fathers are remembered for how they trained their children diligently, gathered the family and had family devotions and taught and trained them. Mothers are remembered for how they nurtured and cared for their children, how they were a godly example, how they showed their daughters what it is to be a wife and mother by the example in the home. Children are an example. Older siblings, you children, you're an example to your younger siblings of how to be obedient to the Lord and be obedient to your parents. As a pastor, there's the story of a group of people that wanted to go hear these great preachers in England. And so they went and they heard one man and they came out and they said, "Oh, what an amazing preacher. What an amazing preacher. The voice and the enunciation and the use of Scripture and this and that. Oh, so wonderful." And then they went to hear Mr. Spurgeon preach. And after they came out of his sermon, they said this: "Oh, what a glorious Savior. Oh, what a glorious Savior." Friend, that's the most encouraging comment you can make on my sermons. "Oh, Pastor, what a glorious Savior, Jesus Christ." We want to point people in our lives, in our preaching, in our ministry, in our memory, point them to Jesus Christ. Oh, friend, what do people around you know that you're most excited about? What do they think of when they think of you? "Oh, she's really excited about clothes. She's really excited about shopping or getting her nails done or this or that. He's really excited about this particular sports team or football or basketball. Oh, he's so impassioned about this hobby." Friend, over all those things, and I'm not saying those things are bad and evil of themselves, that you can be excited and do those things. You can in a way that glorifies God. But above all those things, you want the people around you and your children to think, "My daddy loves Jesus." If I could say one thing about my daddy, one thing about my mommy, they love Jesus Christ. That's the memory that we want. The blessing that we want to be to others. And on the other hand, the text says that the name of the wicked will rot. Look at Proverbs 10:7 again. "The memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot." Someone's name and how that someone is remembered is tightly tied together in Scripture. I'll give you two examples of God Himself. God's name. In Exodus 3:15, God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel: The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered through all generations." You see, he gives his name and he says, "This is how I'm to be remembered." So name and memory are tightly tied together. Hosea 12:5, "The Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial name." Name and memory tightly tied together. And God says in this passage, he will erase the name of the wicked and destroy their memory. The name of the wicked will rot. Rot. Have you ever been around something that rots? You smell a dead animal. You smell something dead in the trash can. And it stinks. It's rotten. God will ensure that the name of the wicked will rot. Psalm 9, 5-6. "You have rebuked the nations." The psalmist is talking to Yahweh, God. "You have rebuked the nations. You have made the wicked perish. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemy came to an end in everlasting ruins. Their cities you rooted out. The very memory of them has perished." Psalm 34:16, "The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth." The name of the wicked will rot. And friend, One of the reasons we're gathered here today is that we don't want anyone gathered here today. We don't want anyone's name to rot. We don't want your name to rot. And so I want to address specifically those of you who are here this morning who are unbelievers, who have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, your name, your life, everything you think, do, and say ought to reflect on the glory and the beauty and the power of Jesus Christ. Has your life done that? Have you lived for Him? Does your life reflect well on Christ? Does your name and your life and your reputation say, Christ is all, Christ is great, Christ is the most valuable reality in my life? Amen. Or does it say, sex is great? Sex is great. Pornography is great. Money is great. Drugs and alcohol are great. Sports are great. My job is great. My children, even good things can become idols. We live for my children. I want to be remembered by my children. Children are great. Or marriage is great. How are you remembered? And above all those things, and really the center of all those things, is I am great. I am great. I want what I want, when I want it, the way I want it. Friend, that is sin. That is sin. And God calls us to repent. To repent of sin, to turn to Him who is the greatest, Jesus Akbar. We hear Allah Akbar all the time these days. It's Arabic. It means Allah is great or Allah is the greatest. Well, we say Jesus Akbar. Jesus is great. Jesus is the greatest. And we want our memory. We want our memory and our reputation to say that. Friend, if you've made other things great in your life, if you've lived for other realities, if you've lived and are remembered and have a reputation of being excited about so many other things more than Jesus, I'm pleading with you, repent. Repent and turn to Christ. Even go right now, you can pray to Him, Lord, is there any truth in what the pastor is saying for me? Have I made other things more important than You in my life? Do people remember me for other things than Christ?
Amen.
Pray and ask Him to show you. He will reveal them to you, and you can repent and trust in Christ, who will forgive you of all your sins. He'll forgive you and change your reputation from the inside out.
Hallelujah.
Friend, we need something more than to be remembered. We need something more than to be remembered by other people. And the key to being remembered in the right way by other people, the key to our memory being a blessing, is that we are remembered by God. We need that more than anything. We need to be remembered by God Himself. Our greatest need and blessing is to be remembered by God. I was visiting Kitty Hankins recently. For those of you who don't know, she's a member of the church. She hasn't been able to be here since I've been here in 5 years. And I remember I was asking her and talking to her, you know, what does she need prayer for? And she said the sweetest thing. She said, I just want God to remember me. I just... She's in a retirement home. She has dementia. But it's hard to talk to her. Memory's gone. Mind is gone in lots of ways. But she said, I just want the Lord to remember me. And I was like, amen, Miss Kitty. Amen. That's what you say. We need to be remembered by God. This was Samson's prayer. Remember, womanizing, sinful, idolatrous Samson, Judges 16:28. Then Samson, at the end of his life, called to the Lord and said, Oh Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me only this once, oh God. And God remembered. This was Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel 1:11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord. And God remembered her. Nehemiah, in Nehemiah 13:31, remember me, O God, for good. David, in Psalm 25:7, remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions according to your steadfast love. Remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. And of course, my favorite, the thief on the cross, lived a whole life of sin and wickedness and evil, had a reputation of crime and was so bad he had to be executed by the Roman government, hung up on a cross, and moments, seconds, minutes, moments before he went to hell forever, he looks at the King of Kings, the Lord of glory, and he sees him for who he really is. And he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus looks him in the eyes and says, truly, I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. Oh, that is glorious. That is glorious to be remembered by Jesus. That's what we need, friends. More than for us to be remembered. And to be remembered in the right way, we need to be remembered by Him first. And foremost, we need to be remembered by Jesus. Jesus, the one who had His name dragged through the mud. Oh, friend, Jesus had His name and reputation dragged through the most putrid mud. Jesus, the one who is perfect and beautiful and glorious, the greatest reputation, He lost His reputation for you and for me. He lost it. He gave it up. They called Him the devil. They called Him the devil. They spit on Him. They called Him a blasphemer of God. And God's Word says anyone who's hung on a tree is cursed. So they would have looked at this man as if he's a cursed man. He lost his reputation. There was a young man once who was going to do something that could possibly cause him to lose his reputation. But it was a righteous thing. It was a righteous thing. And he was getting counsel from two different sides, both Christian sides, but one was saying, you can't do this. It could jeopardize your ministry. It could end your ministry if you do this. Be careful. And the other advice was, what would Jesus do? Jesus would do the right thing and let the chips fall where they may. And if you lose your ministry, Christ is all. And so that's what the man did. Christ is all. Jesus lost his reputation. He gave it up. He was crucified. He suffered the wrath of God, the curse of God, that we might be saved, that we might have a changed reputation. He died for us. He rose up from the tomb. He's alive. He conquered sin. He conquered death. And in His resurrection, He showed that all those things said about Him were lies. And friend, you might have to wait to the day of your resurrection on the last day to be finally vindicated. But be assured of this, friend. If you're living righteously, living holy, trusting in the Lord and following Christ, He will vindicate you on that day. God will make everything that's in the dark come to the light. And He will say, this is my child in whom I am well pleased. No matter what you go through, and no matter who takes your reputation and runs it through the mud for following Christ, God will vindicate you on that day. And that's the day we look forward to. We look forward to that day. And God makes amazing promises to His saints who trust in Christ. Like everlasting name to the eunuchs who are faithful. He promises them an everlasting name. Isaiah 56, 4 through 5. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant. I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. Amen. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. He says He'll give them a new name To those Christians who conquer by the blood of the Lamb and keep trusting, keep following Christ, He says, I'll give them a new name in Revelation 2:17. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. An everlasting new name. Oh, friend, when God the Father remembers you, dear Christian, when God the Father remembers you, He also remembers Jesus. Because you're in union. You're in union with Christ. And so when God the Father looks at you, He sees you covered in the righteousness of Jesus. And just as He said to Jesus, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," He said, "This is my beloved Glenn in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Daniel in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Kimberly in whom I am well pleased." That's how God remembers you if you've trusted in Christ. Jesus is the righteous one who makes everything for you a blessing, because when the Father remembers you, He remembers Christ. Everything a blessing. We spoke about this Wednesday night. Everything a blessing. No matter how bad it is. The problems, the cancers, the arthritis, the suffering, the pain. He makes everything serve you for your good, because He makes you more like Jesus. Oh, it's a blessed thing to be remembered by the Lord Jesus, by the Father. Jesus has the most memorable name. He died to take all our shame and blame, then rose so that freedom we proclaim. And now we'll never be the same. If He gets a hold of you, you'll never be the same. His name is utmost greatest fame. Oh, set our hearts for You aflame, Lord. That's our prayer. Remember us for Your great name. His name is great, is it not? You know His name is the greatest name. One time, Clinton Howard was challenged by a Muslim that there's 99 names of Allah. And so Howard responded by coming up with taking his Bible and finding over 200 names of Jesus the Messiah. And I would love to take the time now to read all 200, but I'm not. I'm going to read a few just to bask in the name above all names, the name of Jesus. He's Jesus Christ, the righteous. He's Savior. He's Emmanuel. He's Mighty God. He's Prince of Peace. He's Everlasting Father. He's Teacher. He's Rabboni. He's Master. He's Governor. He's Lawgiver. He's Forerunner. He's Redeemer. He's Messiah. He's Shiloh. He's Deliverer. He's Mediator. He's Intercessor. He's Prince. He's mighty to save. He's the surety of a better testament. He's the just one. He's the holy one. He's the Holy One of God. He's the faithful and true witness. He's the leader and commander of the people. He's the consolation of Israel. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's Lord. He's Lord from heaven. He's Lord of glory. He's Lord our righteousness. He's the Lord of the holy prophets. He's Lord and Savior. He's my Lord and my God. He's the Holy One of God. He's the second Adam. He's the last Adam. He's the King of Zion. He's the King of the Jews. He's the King of Israel. He's the King of the saints. He's the Prince of the kings of the earth. Oh, think about that in this election. He's the Prince of the kings of the earth. He holds the hand of the president in His arm and turns it wherever He pleases. He's the Prince of the king of the earth. He's the King eternal, immortal, invisible, God, manifest in the flesh. He's the Judge of all the earth. He's the Desire of all the nations. He's the Captain of the Lord's army. He's the King of righteousness. He's the King of peace. He's the King of kings, and He's the Lord of lords. That's my King. He's the Savior of the world. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the name above all names. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So when people think of you, may they first and foremost remember Him. And that will be the greatest blessing that you can ever give to anyone. So let's pray now that God would give us this desire to have this kind of legacy, this kind of reputation, this kind of memory, that people would know, oh, Oh, Jenny, she's most excited about Christ. May it be so evident, Lord. Lord, we pray, God, that You would set us aflame for You. Lord, that Jesus, You told us, unless we hate father and mother, wife and children, even our own lives, we cannot be Your disciple. So that shows the far-reaching chasm there ought to be, that our excitement for Jesus should show than our excitement for anything else, our devotion to anything else. And so, Lord, we pray, God, that we would have a name and a memory that's a blessing. Lord, that we would be those righteous people who trust in Christ, who obey Christ, who live for Christ, who commune with Christ, who pray to Christ, and that we would be a blessing to others as we point them to Christ. Father, let there no one here be among us whose name would rot forever. Oh God, if there's anyone here who's not a Christian, we pray they would be born again. Lord, let them come and believe in Him who has the name above all names, that they would see Christ in His death, in His resurrection, Lord, and they would believe in Him today. And Father, we beg You by the power of Your Spirit, You would so work in us, Lord, that when people remember us, they think of Christ. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well,